Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I hope you're doing well today. This week, we're looking at the theme, carrying on from Sunday, the celebration of the solemnity of Christ the King, Jesus the King of the universe, the Lord of all things. And so, if you haven't had a chance to tune in the program this week, the first couple of days kind of broke down, what does it mean? What is the kingdom? What's at the center of the kingdom? What is the way of life of the kingdom? And at the center of it is a person, Jesus. And he's revealing to us his eternal relationship with the Father, from all eternity, a better way to put it. And what he's doing is he's made a way for fallen human beings that are under a dominion of darkness, that are subject to a demonic kingdom, are enslaved to a demonic kingdom under the dominion of sin and death. Jesus came to break that and to break the back of that kingdom, to disarm the principalities and powers, and to make it possible for human beings to come and share in the glory from all eternity between that exists between the Father and the Son, and in his person, in his flesh. Because of his life, death, and resurrection, Jesus has entered into glory. Mary's Son, one of us, is completely clothed in glory, and he reigns and rules as king over all. That's the Christian story. And that's real. It's not a fantasy. It's not a fantasy book, a fantasy story. It is actual fact. And now he's established his kingdom on the earth. His kingdom is manifest in the church and the ministry and life of the church and the sacraments and the preaching and hopefully the life of the people. Hopefully people headed for sanctity, people obeying Jesus and walking in the way of life of the kingdom. Loving God, loving neighbor, loving ourselves in a way that's healthy and rightly ordered. If you didn't have a chance to tune in the first couple of days, there's some good stuff there. You can go to our website at renewalministries.net and listen to the programs. You can just download them at Ave Maria app as well. If these programs are blessing you in any way, pray for us. Pray that these shows can continue to spread. And also, if the Lord puts it on your heart, send us a little bit of financial support if you could do that, because it costs a lot to do these programs and also to do the mission in Renewal Ministries that we've been asked to carry on by the Lord. And a lot of great, great opportunities are there. So any way you can bless us, let us know. You can just go to renewalministries.net. There's a donation button on the front page. So today, I want to take up another passage. So there's these wonderful passages in the New Testament that touch in particular on the kingship and lordship and majesty of Jesus, because we want to lay hold of it and say, what is this kingship and how does he demonstrate it and how is it manifested in our lives? Because the Holy Spirit, who is the author of the Word of God, along with those who wrote it, the Holy Spirit wants us and wants to help us with the anointing of his presence in us to be able to touch our minds and touch our hearts and our imagination, really the whole core of our being, with a manifestation of the truth of who Jesus is, getting a glimpse of his glory and majesty. So today I'm going to look at some verses from chapter 1 of the book of Revelation, the apocalypse, which means the unveiling. And what's unveiled, you know, a lot of people talk about the book of Revelation as God's end time plan, that's the main thing that's being revealed. Well, there's certainly dimensions of that, but the fundamental unveiling is God's plan as a person. It's Jesus. And what John, the author of the book of Revelation, he's imprisoned. He's on a prisoner's island in Patmos, and he's thrown in jail because of the preaching of the gospel. So he's suffering the tribulation that Jesus said would come for anybody that's taking him seriously and trying to extend the kingdom of God. And he has a visitation from the Lord. While he's in prayer on the Lord's Day, the Holy Spirit comes on him, and there's a revelation there. So I'm going to begin in chapter 1, the early verses. It says, Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. That's Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, articulating what does John see? Who does he know Jesus to be? First, he's the faithful witness. Remember, Jesus came. His messianic mission was to bring the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's come to reveal the truth about God, truth about the devil, the truth about the human condition, truth about the real nature of the Father, and the Father's plan to bring about salvation and to make it possible for rebels like us to become children of God. He's the firstborn from the dead. That was a theme from Colossians 1 we also talked about yesterday. He was the one firstborn from the dead. He rose from the dead, and him begins the new creation. And he's the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priest to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And then lastly, verse 7, behold, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him. Every eye will, when he comes, friends, everybody's going to hit the deck. Arms are going to be raised. Some people are going to fall flat on their face, overwhelmed by his majesty. Glory, we'll all fall on our knees. The recognition of who he is in his majesty, all the resistance will be gone. All those, the book of Revelation says, when he comes, those who are opposed to him, they will begin to beat their chest. They'll be overwhelmed at the madness of what they did and the judgment that's coming upon them. Because remember, Jesus is the bridegroom, king, and judge. The Father has given all judgment to the Son, and he's bringing the final judgment. It's coming. Key themes from this early section of the book of Revelation chapter 1. The glorified Christ, Christ's present reign. He reigns right now. He's the ruler of the kings of the earth. His dominion is not future only, it's now through his resurrection. Two, has a kingly priesthood, the priesthood of the redeemed. He's a priest. He made his life an offering to the Father. And those who come into his kingdom are going to be like him. He makes us this way. When he takes away our sin, when we're baptized into him and the Holy Spirit is given to us, and a new song and a new heart, and we've been given power, John said, to become children of God. And part of what that means now is we are imitating Jesus. We're united to him. We're in his body. And Jesus offers praise to the Father from all eternity, to give offerings of love and in obedience to the Father from all eternity. His entire being on the cross, his yes, was an offering and free offering and sacrifice of love. And that's what we're being brought into. We're a priesthood making offerings and sacrifice. We see it literally in the Mass, which through the visible institutional priesthood, the altar Christus, the priest is another Christ. And he's, by grace, God has established this institution of the church to make it possible for us as a communion of people, a communion in his body to make ourselves, to actualize and to express in our day-to-day, our daily Mass and our Mass on the weekends, the offering that's going up from the earth every single day to the glory of the Lord Jesus and the Father, to join Jesus in his thanksgiving and his praise to the Father. It's also a kingly priesthood, but it's also redemptive kingship. His role is established through his sacrificial love and blood, it's not a conquest as it's normally understood. Jesus liberates how? By mercy, not by force. By his humility, by his meekness, by his radical love. And there's an eschatological hope here as well. That means what? The future, the hope. Behold, he's coming on the clouds, echoes Daniel 7:13 through 14, affirming that the Son of Man who reigns now will return in glory to consummate his kingdom. His full revelation of his full power and full kingship. But that will be the time when the final judgment happens. And this is why the church has to be awake to Jesus' kingship, how crucial it is. It's the most important thing anyone could ever come to know and to possess, to live in the kingdom. There's nothing more valuable. We're completely dazed by the world. We're captivated by the things of the world. Like Jesus was tempted in the desert, the devil showed him all the kingdoms of the earth and said, you know, I can give this to you. And Jesus in his purity and his wisdom and his humility and his love for the Father. He knew who the devil was and he knew it was a lie. I mean, the devil could give it, but Jesus knows what it is. It's empty. It's empty. It's nothing compared to the kingdom. Here's where human beings are trapped. We think our politics, our money, our inventions, our games, our lusts, our idols, that all these things are somehow really valuable. We pursue them. We get preoccupied with them. We think we're going to find our happiness in them. And it's a total lie. It's complete bondage. This is why we're going to be surprised. Jesus said the last are going to be first. People who kind of have really come under the lordship of Jesus, and they're not walking in the world. They're in the world, but not of the world. They've actually made that transition, and they're free from all those bondages. But so many people just keep clinging to them. So many of the baptized, got to have it, can't be happy without it. It's a big, big mistake. Part of the spiritual battle that's going on. Son of man who reigns will return in glory. We have to be ready. We have to live in that posture of readiness for his return. This early passage, you just see the dimensions of it being revealed as John is, again, encountering the risen Lord, having a vision of him. And then further down in that chapter, chapter 1, verses 12 through 20, there's a revelation to John of the fuller glory of Jesus. And I have often read this. It's not my invention. I've seen it in other commentaries, but the one that I grab onto here is John is in prison. He's a shepherd of seven churches that he can't access right now because he's in prison. He's praying for them. He's agonizing over them. Some of them are in good shape. Some of them are in not such good shape. And he's praying for them. And the Lord gives him consolation that he is standing right in the middle of those churches, that these are his people, his churches, and that he's faithful. But what does he do to give John confidence as he reveals his majesty and his glory? For example, verse 12. So John, while he's there, what does he see? He sees like one like a son of man in the midst of the lampstands, the seven golden lampstands. You know, the seven golden lampstands. So what does he see when he sees the one standing, that is Jesus in his glory, in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with golden girdle around his chest? The son of man is taken from Daniel. It's a phrase that references Daniel's Ancient of Days. He's the heavenly king who reigns over all the nations. He's in the midst of the lampstands, which represent the churches. He's got a robe and a golden sash around him, which communicates his royal priesthood, his royalty and his priesthood. Verse 14, his head is and hair were white as wool. His eyes are like flame of fire. The white hair symbolizes the eternal wisdom, purity, and divine majesty of Jesus. Again, reference to Daniel chapter 7. His eyes are like a flame of fire, signify the penetrating judgment and the perfect knowledge. And I think as well, the eyes, the window to the soul, you see the burning, pure love of Jesus for the Father from all eternity and his love for his people. Verse 15, his feet like burnished bronze and his voice was like many waters. The bronze feet indicate stability, strength, and purity. His reign is firm and unshakable. His voice is like many waters, like the voice of God, absolute authority and power. Verse 16, in his right hand are the seven stars. A sharp two-edged sword comes from his mouth. His face is like the sun. His right hand symbolizes his power and dominion. The sword from his mouth is the word of divine judgment of God. The face of the sun is the glory and divine radiance of his kingship. And he says, don't be afraid. I'm the first and the last. All power and authority belong to me. Dominion, power, and glory belong to Jesus. He said, be not afraid. That's a revelation we need to live with clarity about who the Lord is. It allows us to live with a holy fear of God and walk in purity and freedom of children of God. Hope you can join me tomorrow.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once, and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.